Well, officially, good morning. It is good to be with you this morning, and special thanks to the choir and the brass ensemble. We just thank you for bringing us into the presence of the Lord. And you don't have this view, but as we sit out looking forward, the sun has been shining on the cross. And so the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen? Amen. I have a front row seat this morning. Normally I sit, you know, up here, and I didn't realize I was going to be down front, and, you know, of course, the vain woman that I am, I would have fixed the back of my hair a little better for you all. And then I'm also laughing because we're coming up and down the steps, which is just fine, but I haven't tripped yet. I have one more time down and back up, but I have a watch that tracks my steps, right, and when I climb stairs, and I'm sure it's like, you know, come on, you can do more than two. You got more in you. So it is good to be with you today. Today is the start of Holy Week, Palm Sunday as we know, and I just absolutely love when the children come in waving their palms. It's one of my most favorite parts of this day. And we imagine Jesus in all his glory and the people lining the streets. And Scripture tells us that an exceptionally large crowd gathered. And they lined the streets with their cloaks and their prayer shawls. I have a prayer shawl on my shoulder that I am wearing right now. And I purchased this in the Jewish Quarter in Jerusalem when I was over in the Holy Land last year. And you'll notice that it has fringes, and then it has Hebrew wording all around it. And it's from Numbers 15, 38 to 40. And what it says is, "Praised are you, blessed are you, our God, sovereign of the universe, who sanctifies us with the commandments and commands us to wrap ourselves in the fringes." And for me, when I wear this prayer shawl, it's an extension of Jesus' arms around me. You see, prayer shawls were and are sacred and holy. And the people, they laid their prayer shawls before Jesus. This was important. They laid their prayer shawls before Jesus. And others cut down branches to spread in his path. And the people shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And they celebrated with praises to God in the highest. But you see, they didn't know what they didn't know. For Jesus, Palm Sunday was the first step towards his death. He knew. He knew. Jesus was both divine and human. Human and divine. And imagine the feelings that Jesus had in his humanity, knowing what was going to happen at the end of the week and the days to come. Maybe fear, worry, anxiety. We don't know for sure. Jesus taught on such things in his Sermon on the Mount. Ever heard of that? Practice what you preach? Right? Practice what you preach. Jesus did just that. Today's message is Mission Possible. His mission, should you choose to accept it, conquering fear and worry. Ever been in a situation where you feel like if you worry just enough, or if you worry just the right way, that it's going to get resolved or make things better? Some of you may be like that. Or maybe you have enough worry to cover yourself and everyone around you. Or maybe you've got somebody in your life where you say, "I don't need to worry about it, they're going to worry for me." Right? Maybe a person comes to mind as I say that. The Bible talks about worry. Worry is just really a fear of what's going to happen or what is not going to happen. Worry and fear was a thing back in Jesus' day, so much so that he taught on it. Last week, I went to the dentist, and if you are a dentist or work in a dentist office, have anything to do with that, know that I am grateful for you, but I fear going to the dentist. I don't know if there's anybody else out there like that. And I'm not a worrier, but when it comes to the dentist, I do tend to worry just a little bit. And last year when I went and had x-rays, he said to me, "We've got a tooth we're just going to watch." Well, nobody wants to hear, "We've got a tooth that we're just going to watch." Nobody wants to hear it, and it was whether or not I was going to have a crown or not. So I went on Thursday. Wednesday went into full-on worry mode, which is quite appropriate when you're writing a sermon on worry and fear. And I got a hold of myself, and so I go on Thursday, and they do the x-rays, and he's looking at my teeth, and thank goodness he says these words, "We're just going to keep watching it." So that just means I have a whole nother year until I have to worry again. We all have different categories of things that we worry about. And can I tell you a secret? I'm going to tell you a secret. Worrying doesn't help anything, and it doesn't change the outcome. It just consumes you. Webster defines consume as to do away with completely, destroy, to spend wastefully, squander, use up time. You see, worry robs our time, our energy, and our thoughts. Ulcers are not only caused by what we eat, but what is eating us. Amen? Mm. Jesus says you can't add a single hour to your life by worrying. If that was the case, we'd be really old, wouldn't it? But you can't add a single hour to your life by worrying. Think about this. What did you worry about a year ago? What did you worry about a year ago? I bet many of us can't even remember what we worried about a year ago. I want to share a story with you. Hear these words. The carpenter I hired, this is not my story, I'm just telling the story. The carpenter I hired to help me restore an old farmhouse had just finished a rough first day on the job. A flat tire made him lose an hour of work, his electric saw quit, and now his ancient pickup truck refused to start. While I drove him home, he sat in stony silence. On arriving, he invited me in to meet his family. As we walked toward the front door, he paused briefly at a small tree, touching the tips of the branches with both of his hands. After opening the door, he underwent an amazing transformation. His face was wreathed in smiles, and he hugged his small two children, and he kissed his wife. And afterward, he walked me to my car. We passed a tree, and in my curiosity, I asked him about what he had done earlier with that tree. And he says, "Oh, that's my worry tree," he replied. "I know I can't help having worries on the job, but one thing is for sure, worries don't belong in the house with my wife and children. So I just hang them up on the tree every night when I come home. And then in the morning, I pick them back up again." Funny thing is, he smiled and said, "When I come out in the morning to pick them up, there aren't nearly as many as I remember hanging up the night before." I don't know about you, but I think I need to put a worry tree next to my bed. Anybody else? I think it would help me sleep better because we tend to take our worries with us to bed. I saw a sign one time and it said, "Give it to God and go to sleep." Like, I need that sign because our minds tend to go into overdrive. I want to share a passage with you from the book of Matthew, and I invite you to read along with me. I'm in the sixth chapter of Matthew. There's pew Bibles in front of you, or maybe you've got an app on your phone. Again, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 32 this morning. Matthew 6, 25 to 32. Hear these words. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and tomorrow and is thrown into the fire, he will not much more clothe you, you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of this word. You see, worry and fear are real. So much so that we see it throughout the pages of the scriptures. You see, our worries are different than those of the ancient days. Jesus says, don't worry about your life or what you will eat or drink or what you will wear. Our worries today put things in perspective. It's not what will you eat or drink, rather what to buy at the grocery store or which restaurant we're going to choose to go out to eat. We don't stress over the water that we're going to drink. We just decide, are we going to open a bottle today or are we going to go to the faucet? And for some, it's not do I have clothes to wear, but what to wear, because we have an excess in our closets. But friends, we have the opportunity to be warriors. I can't say, that is a tongue twister, isn't it? Warriors. Woo! I even did this to myself. Warriors for others. Last week, we had the privilege to host Family Promise here at church, and we opened the doors for three families that included nine people that had a place to live for the week. They didn't have to worry about a roof over their head or a roof over their children's heads. And then we have a food pantry that we have every week for folks that don't have to worry about where their food is going to come from, where their next meal is going to come from. And then our community gathers on Tuesday night for a meal, all to be in relationship with one another, to be in community, to bear one another's burdens. We have the opportunity to help others. And by serving and giving, you help another person with their worry. You just may not realize it. Jesus reminds us, what you do for the least of these, you do for me. I love the sounds of birds, and I don't know about you, but right now I just love spring and listening to them chirp and to sing. And I have a front porch with a rocking chair, and I just absolutely love to spend my time out there. And I just loved, again, to listen to the birds sing, and I envision God singing to me through his creation as I listen each morning. And God, he speaks about the birds in the air. And again, in verse 26, he says, look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Yet they don't store up food. The Father of creation feeds them when they need it. They are reliant on their Creator. Reliant on their Creator. He is a creator of all creation, including the birds. He's also their caterer, right? He likes to serve up the worms. Creates everything. See, first service, it was a little rough, but you all are laughing. You're getting it. Thank you. So what is our song to our creator? Is it one of thanksgiving, one of trust, one of adoration, or is it one of apprehension? Are we singing loud for God to hear, or have we lost our voice because fear and worry has silenced it? We are taught and hardwired to take care of ourselves, to be self-reliant, self-sufficient, self-supporting, relying on ourselves to do what needs to be done. And then there are days that God just gently reminds us, taps us on the shoulder, and says, you don't have to do this all by yourself. You're not alone. God is the ultimate provider for all creation, including you. I'd like to share a poem with you this morning, and some of you may have heard this, and I'd like to share it. Hopefully it's new to a couple of you. Hear these words. One night, a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord, and across the sky flashed scenes from his life. From each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonging to him and the other belonging to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there were only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and the very saddest times of his life. And this really bothered him. And he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times of my life that there has only been one set of footprints. And I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, that you would leave me?" The Lord replied, "My precious, precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During those times of trial and suffering when you only saw one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." You see, God knows what you need. God knows what you need. Hear these words from Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am the Lord your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." We are in this series called Mission Possible. Mission Possible, His mission, should you choose to accept it. Conquering fear and worry. Life can be uncertain. We can all attest to that. But with God, all things are possible. We have a Savior, and He is the Lord of our lives. And His name is Jesus. And He tells us, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. So what do you need to lay down this week at the feet of Jesus instead of worrying about something? What do you need to give to God and lay it down? As Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the people gathered, laying down their palms and their cloaks and their prayer shawls. What do you need to lay down at the feet of Jesus as we journey towards the cross? Some of us here need to be delivered from fear and worry. We know that it binds us and it strangles and it weighs down and it consumes us. But friends, today we have the opportunity to lay it down, to lay it down. I'm going to guide us into a time of prayer, and there's parts of this I'm going to invite you to repeat after me, and then there'll be times where you just have silent prayer with the Lord. Won't you join me as we prepare our hearts and minds to meet the Lord this morning? God, we thank you for this time. We thank you that you meet us here in this place. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the birds in the air. We thank you for this day. And Lord, we lift up this week to you as we journey towards the cross. God, we come together and we lift our voices together. Won't you repeat after me? God, I invite you into this place. God, I invite you into this place. And repeat after me, God, I invite you into my thoughts and into my life. God, I invite you into my thoughts and into my life. God, I pray that we feel your presence upon us, around us, in us, that we feel your gentle touch upon our lives in this very moment. God, there are some of us that are burdened, and I ask that you would fill this place with the presence of your Holy Spirit, that you would lift burdens, that you would empty fear and worry and fill us with your peace, your assurance, and your grace. So in our minds, we come before you, and we lift up these things that are weighing us down, that worry us, the fears that we have. God, we lay them at your feet, at the feet of Jesus on this Palm Sunday. So we come before you now in a time of silent prayer to open our hearts to you so that you may touch and fill us. Hear our prayers. I envision in this moment that each and every one of us line the streets and we're waving our palm branches, or maybe we're laying down our cloaks or our prayer shawls as we see Jesus coming down towards us as he makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And as he walks by and rides by on that donkey, he locks eyes with each and every one of you in this very moment. And he says to you, I see you and I hear you. I see you and I hear you. My peace I give to you. Lay it down before him. Lay it down. God, we glorify you. We glorify you, and we call upon the name of Jesus. I pray when we walk out of this place, even though we've laid it down, we're going to have a tendency to pick something else up, because each day has enough worry of itself. But God, I pray that we find ourselves in a regular habit of laying it down before you, not to carry it, because you care for us, and for us to have faith in you. Because God, we know that you are faithful. So we glorify you, we praise you, and we honor you this day. Hosanna in the highest. And what a privilege it is to come and to worship at your feet. Friends, Jesus sees you. He sees you this day. God, we thank you for this time, and we pray these things in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, Amen.